Hello and welcome to Connect Learning. I'm David Warlick and it's September 12, 2005. Good afternoon from sunny and finally cool Raleigh, North Carolina. We're keeping our attention on Tropical Storm Ophelia, but pretty much going about business. You really don't know what one of these storms is going to do until it's done it. Fran went right through my backyard several years ago, leaving us stranded in the neighborhoods for days by all the trees laying across the roads and the dangling power lines. Right now we could just use some rain. The weather's not what we're about right now. I have a special treat. But before I deliver, I do want to mention a little experimenting I did over the weekend. Several of the prominent education podcasters have talked about content management systems that they're exploring. And I must admit, I'm impressed with the potentials of Moodle. But for some time, I've needed to refurbish my professional website, davidwarlick.com. So I downloaded Mambo, a CMS that I've heard mentioned favorably over recent days, installed it on my web server, selected a template, and proceeded to copy and paste content from the old site over to the new. I'm not going to get into the technical details, that's not what I do, but I will invite you to take a look at the website that I built in about 2 hours. Again, that's http://davidwarlick.com. Now for the treat. I really don't know the first time I heard about this Mabry Middle School down in Cobb County, Georgia, and the remarkable principal who leads it. I do remember the day that I was reading one of his summer blog entries where he all but required the parents of his students to have read Before the School's Open House, The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman. So that, and I quote, "You will have a deeper insight into my remarks about what we are doing at Mabry Middle School to begin preparing children to be global lifelong learners." I was even more impressed when Dr. Tyson actually practiced one of the podcasting ideas that came out of the Downers Grove Summit, publishing a podcast of his presentation at the school's open house so that parents who, because of schedules, were not able to attend, and so that the school's larger community could return to the ideas throughout the year. Well, I can imagine just how busy a middle school principal must be in September. But I pursued the idea of gathering up some of his perspective and experience. I sent Dr. Tyson an email request that he take a listen to a couple of my podcasts and see if he'd be willing to answer some questions into his microphone and send me the files to assemble into a conversation, a la the Bob Sprankle podcast of a few months ago. To my surprise, he agreed and emailed me within the week a message that I am still reeling from. What Tyson has to say is too powerful for me to cut down into a conversation, so I'm just going to play it as is, probably breaking it down into two podcasts. But I want to add one more note. This is not so much for the educator listeners out there. Dr. Tyson is eloquently expressing some of the ideas that most of us producers and listeners of podcasts have already taken to heart. I want this message to go out to the parents and the greater community members, people who are just now beginning to challenge their own notions of what schooling should be in the 21st century. Now, I'm not going to waste any more time. Here's Dr. Tim Tyson talking about the differences between Mabry Middle School and the school he attended in his youth.
I think that's one of the most powerful questions I've been asked in a long time. Let me start by saying that I think that most parents, adults in general for that matter, assume that they know all about junior high or middle school because they attended one. We sort of assume that because we went to school for many years, we know exactly what a school should look like today. I think that's about the same as suggesting that because I went to a doctor, I know everything I need to know about running a doctor's office. Nothing could be further from the truth. I attended one of the best schools in the state of Florida at the time, as measured by test scores. Yet, Mabry Middle School, which also has very high test scores, is different in very powerful, fundamental ways than the school that I attended. In fact, I suspect that Mabry is vastly different than just about every middle school or junior high school that any of our parents or adults in general ever attended. The nature of resources is completely different, their availability, their quality. And like Thomas Friedman says in his latest book, with pervasive connectivity, the small can act really big and the big can act really small. Our students can now, with technology, be publishers of quality digital media that rivals that of any media production facility in the world. Students can now have an international voice and publish in very compelling formats directly to the world without having to go through distribution systems. Teachers now have the tools to diagnose and remediate learning difficulties and to track skill development, providing an unprecedented level of individualized instructional attention for every child they teach. So let me start by talking about the resources that were available to me when I was in school. As a child, I was limited to the books that were in the library. And it was called a library because all it contained was books and a few film strips. Remember the ding that signaled you were supposed to advance the film strip? I was limited to the resources that were physically present in the building. Today, we have a fundamental shift in resource availability and quality. At Mabry, when our students sit down to a computer, they have very few limits on the resources that are available to them. They have access to the most powerful educational resources the world has to offer. They can interact with that information and create powerful knowledge products themselves. The books that were available to me as a student in middle school were dated. And by that I mean that by the time the books arrived on the shelves of the library, they were already out of date. Even today, when books arrive on the shelves at Mabry, they're at least 2 years old. For nonfiction resources, that means with the massive explosion of information, the information in the book can be completely inaccurate, or had to be so generically designed when it was written as to be less than informative. But with today's technology, my students have access to current thinking, current events from numerous resources, varied opinions and perspectives on the same topic, the latest information available from the very best minds and the brightest thinkers in the world. And with RSS feeds, that information can come directly to them the instant it is published on the web. In other words, the time it takes for the latest information to reach my students? Zero. I'll give you a simple example. The encyclopedia. Some small committee, someplace, sat around trying to figure out how to distill entire bodies of knowledge, whole fields of study, into a handful of paragraphs. By the time they all finished editing and revising their overly simplified summaries, published the encyclopedia, and those books arrived on our school shelves, the information was woefully inadequate. But with today's technology, such as Wikipedia, my students have access to a rich body of information that is living, is being edited every day by the entire world, not some small committee of experts. I don't know about you, but I trust the peer review of the entire world more than I trust a small committee of hired experts. And I trust information that was edited for accuracy this morning more than I do information that was reviewed years and years ago. So the classroom my students sit in today at Mabry is as large as the entire world. Global, pervasive, instant connectivity brings into their learning experiences all of the best educational resources the world has to offer. When I was in school, My classroom was remarkably smaller, certainly not much more than a few hundred square feet, and my educational resources were substantially more limited. I'll tell you another significant difference between the school I attended as a child and Mabry Middle School. I can remember back when I did my 7th grade science fair exhibit. I went to the store and I purchased poster board, glue sticks, and even something that was totally new, pre-cut letters. And while I thought my project rocked, it really did very little to get a person's attention and hold it. Last year, many of my 7th grade students at Mabry created movies for their science projects. In this one particular project that I'm thinking about, the students used digital footage that their teacher shot for them of the elephants in the wild in Botswana and Zimbabwe the summer before. The students then went to the Atlanta Zoo and shot footage of those elephants in captivity. They called the head of exotic animals at UGA and conducted a phone interview with him about the diseases they saw on the elephants in the zoo. They then produced an astounding documentary about these animals, contrasting their lives in the wild with their lives in captivity. Their documentary had a purpose: to arrest the viewer's attention with the raw beauty of these enormous animals in the wild, show the contrast these animals face in the confined spaces of captivity, and persuade everyone who saw their documentary to petition in behalf of taking better care of our elephants in zoos. Their project is significant to me on several levels. First, they used a powerful medium to persuade, and they did it in such a powerful way that it doesn't just arrest the audience's attention. It commands a level of respect for their message that compels the viewer to action. These students understood that these technological tools could be used to combine music, video, scientific, factual information in powerful ways that would compel people to act. As one 12-year-old child said to me last year, "Dr. Tyson, a poster board is just flat and boring. It doesn't move. It has no voice. Technology gives our project emotional impact." These words came out of the mind of a 12-year-old. Their project, and many, many others, was significant, timely, and meaningful. It was visually stunning. It was emotionally compelling. It was of broadcast quality. You could see this project on the Discovery Channel, and it was created by children. So here's the greatest fundamental difference of all. I was educated in a school setting, a wonderful school setting, in which I consumed information. That was my role. That was my responsibility, to consume information, to sit in class, take notes, do my homework, and memorize as much of the information the teacher gave me as I possibly could. This is where things have fundamentally changed. This is why, in my opinion, today's adults don't have a clue what school has become. It's not the same place it was when we were in school. At Mabry, I want my students to be much more than simple consumers of information. We have a whole nation full of consumers. I want them to be creators of information. No, not just information. Creators of knowledge. I consider information to be too stagnant, and I think of knowledge as the seed for change and action. I want my students, using the powerful tools now afforded them through technology and pervasive connectivity, to be producers of knowledge. I want my students to create emotionally compelling media that makes the world a better place. I want them to solve problems. I want them to have the confidence that's born of intellectual integrity and critical thinking, to publish their work for worldwide review. And I want them to add to the body of knowledge in our world through publication in venues such as Wikipedia. This is huge. This is powerful beyond belief. I tell our students, our parents, and our teachers that we tremendously underestimate our students. Many times they underestimate themselves. Our culture as a whole, I think, tremendously underestimates kids. In centuries past, children had to quickly begin meaningful contributions just to promote the survival of the family unit. Our students today aren't just preparing for their future. They're living in their present, and it needs to be substantive. It needs to be meaningful. They aren't just sitting around trying to learn stuff that will get them into the next grade level. They have the untapped capacity to make the world a better place today. The children, when given the opportunity, they get it. They're ready for this challenge. They're far more sophisticated than I was or any of my friends were when we were in school. But we as adults, acting in our old school way of seeing things, are too often telling our children today in hidden ways that we may not even see or understand ourselves, that their lives are less than significant, are less than meaningful until they graduate from high school or college, or until they get their jobs or start their own families. Well, I have a question for you. When does meaningfulness start? When do our lives assume a level of significance that can make a change for good? I also have an answer for you. I think it's today. I think it's always today. It's now. It's always right now. We need to stop holding kids back. We need to stop forcing them to gear down when they walk into our schools. We need to stop demanding that they focus their attention on only one thing at a time. We need to stop simplifying this life experience of theirs into discrete, disconnected experiences that have the meaningfulness distilled right out of them. Instead, I think we need to invite them into the rich world of connected, relevant, meaningful contribution. We need to respect their curiosity and the significant contributions they can make. We need to challenge them with huge ideas, because I think they'll stun us. They will rise to the challenges the world poses. When I was in school, students were starting to demand a voice in our society. We were resisting the old-fashioned notion that children were to be seen and not heard. At Mabry, we want to empower children now, today. Sure, we want to prepare them for their futures, and we're all about preparing them for their futures. But we believe we best do that by encouraging them to use all of the resources available to them today to make meaningful, significant contributions to their present, to the world now. You see, I think we've sort of squandered a precious resource far too long. Now, with pervasive connectivity, with pervasive and powerful resources through technology, our students can make a difference in our world even now. Technology gives one person, in this case a single student, the power to have a real, compelling, and significant voice that can matter for good. That's a huge change from when I was in school.
In the next podcast, Dr. Tyson may talk to us about his first experience with podcasting. Or he may talk to us about the teachers at Mabry who are continually challenging him to be a better principal. Or maybe what's next for this forward-looking middle school? Connect Learning is a production of Basement Office Studios, and it is protected under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike Creative Commons license.